Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn number 988. 988. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth, and fame all cry out, it is not here. Hymn number 988.
Thank you.
our reading from God's holy word, you will find in the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, reading chapter 1 and chapter 2 down to verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which he have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant in prayer.
O Lord, do mercifully undertake for us. We venture to approach unto thee in prayer. Give us grace to do so with reverence, with godly fear. And may faith be an exercise in our souls, without which it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we have to confess with shame how we come so short in that diligent seeking. But oh, do in mercy come and undertake for us. Subdue all the power of unbelief. Increase our faith. Especially, Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wilt reveal thyself to us. For thou art the author and finisher of our faith, the object of faith. No man cometh unto the Father but by thee. Do enable us then, Lord, to come in that way of thy appointment. Didst thou not say to thy disciples, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And we have to come with our hymn writer, say our needs are great and many too, O Lamb of God. Some pity show. Lord, what need we have of thy Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, and for his sacred indwelling in our hearts. Though again we join with a hymn writer who said, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Upon him we are dependent for every right thought, all real conviction of sin, and every believing view, Lord Jesus, of thyself. And it is thy office, dear Holy Spirit, to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Lord, that is what we need. We need it all, at all times, but especially, Lord, as we must venture to open our lips in thy holy name. Increasingly, we have to join with the apostle, for who is sufficient for these things? But do bless us with faith to say as he could say, but our sufficiency is of God. Lord, do come and help us. Thou knowest all the help we need for body, mind and soul. We need sufficient strength of body and mind. But oh, we also need to be strengthened with all might in the inner man. Lord, may we prove what the apostle proved. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. As we are so conscious that the outward man decays, May the inward man be renewed day by day. Lord, do thus come and visit us with thy salvation. Come and speak to our hearts. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest, if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. We would be truly thankful for the letter of truth, for the holy word of God. O Lord, help us to more prize it and pray over it. But we do need thy gospel to come to us, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I do pray, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, both in speaking and in hearing. Oh Lord, only then will it be effectual in the hearts of those that hear. For Paul may plant and Apollos may water, but only God can give the increase. And Lord, thou knowest how solemnly some of us feel to need such an increase. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And grant thy hand may be with me and keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Lord, thou didst grant to Jabez that which he requested. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant it to us too. Oh, do come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Come and manifest thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Oh, Lord, do keep alive in our hearts an appetite for thy truth. For thou dost say in thy word, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, though we may feel to come so far short, we are indeed amongst those who are pronounced blessed if we have that hunger and thirst in our hearts. Oh, let us not be satisfied with all the things concerning time and sense that our carnal hearts would be satisfied with. Oh, what a plague they are to us. Lord, we think of how Solomon in his far-off day prayed concerning all those that knew the plague of their own hearts. Lord, thou knowest what a plague we find it to be. All the corruptions of fallen nature, all the unbelief that is there. Lord, in mercy come and subdue all the power of sin within us. Shield us, Lord, from Satan's fiery darts. Often we cannot tell whether the evils within arise from the corrupt fountain of our own nature or whether they're injected by Satan. But, Lord, we need thee to save us from both. When the enemy comes in like a flood, may the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. And do pray for thy blessing upon thy word that has been read to us. What deep things, what vital things. Oh Lord, how we need to pray that thou would open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy gospel. And grant to us, Lord, that hungering and thirsting to know these things for ourselves, to know them as sealed upon our hearts, that we might possess Christ, formed in our hearts, the hope of glory. Our lives are ever on the wing. Death is ever nigh. The moment we begin to live, we all begin to die. Some of us, Lord, are painfully conscious of this truth. Oh, let not the young think that they can put off to some more convenient time a concern about eternity. But may they in thy sovereign good pleasure seek thee early and find thee. May they prove to be a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee blessed. Make them willing, Lord, to be different from the world that lieth in the wicked one, to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember, Lord, parents in their arduous responsibilities, bringing up their offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in these increasingly difficult days in which we live. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant to them all needed help and grace and wisdom. What a good promise is that in thy word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Lord, we do need wisdom to conduct ourselves aright in the affairs of life. But oh, we do above all need that heavenly wisdom, that wisdom which is from above. Thou, Lord Jesus, art wisdom. Thou art made unto thy people wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Remember those who, like ourselves, are in the eventide of life. And begin to feel the grasshopper to be a burden. You see the shadows of evening lengthening. Oh, how we need to be much in prayer concerning our latter end. But do grant to us, Lord, that assurance that it will be well with us while life endures, and well when called to die. But do grant, Lord, that others too may lay to heart their latter end. We think of how Moses prayed for the people of Israel. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Again, we will pray that none of us may put off to some more convenient time concern about how it will be with us in the swellings of Jordan, when we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, prepare us in mercy. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Remember, Lord, not only this assembly of saints here, but all thy people, both within our own shores and to the very ends of the earth. The Lord knoweth them that are his. We do pray for this cause of truth, that thou would help and bless and support the deacons, and grant, Lord, true spiritual prosperity in their midst. Bless the labours of thy servants among them. If it is thy holy will, do grant to them an under-shepherd according to thine own heart. Remember all thy servants, wherever they may be, those labouring upon Zion's walls this evening. One present with us here, Lord, bless him and make him a blessing. Remember those in affliction and those laid aside, and could it please thee to grant healing and restoring mercies to them. And do in this dark day still grant that the words we read in thy gospel may be abundantly fulfilled, that the Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We pray for the afflicted amongst thy people. We pray for the persecuted and oppressed. O Lord, do command deliverances for Jacob, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Do hasten the day when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Remember too those of thine caught up in those sore conflicts that are taking place here and there upon the face of the earth. Lord, we would pray that could it please thee, thou wilt cause those conflicts to cease. We read of a day when the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not learn war anymore. O Lord, we know not what may lie between us and such a day. We pray for grace to endure unto the end. Give wisdom to those in authority over us, Lord. If it could please thee, grant real saving repentance to many from the throne downwards, and mercifully save us, Lord, from evil men and seducers who wax worse and worse. Help us now, Lord, through the remainder of this service. Undertake for us. Bless us indeed. Forgive everything amiss in our prayers, and make up in giving where we come short in asking. We seek all in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 231. 231. 'Tis by the faith of joys to come, we walk through deserts dark as night, till we arrive at heaven our home. Faith is our guide, and faith our light. Hymn 231.
seeking the Lord's help, we venture to turn this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter. I'll read the 19th verse. The Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. The 19th verse in the first chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, in his Son, should all fullness dwell. The apostle has been, in the preceding verses, speaking concerning the person of Christ and the work of Christ. That Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. But then he goes on to speak of the church. He is the head of the body, the church. And following the text too, he returns to the theme of redemption. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that sometime were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now is he reconciled. It pleased the Father. Yes, all that Christ accomplished was according to the good pleasure of the Father. This word, although it certainly had its fulfillment in the days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when we read on more than one occasion, the Father testified, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And the Son could testify, I do always those things that please my Father. But the Word takes us back before the incarnation of Christ to the eternity of God. The eternal Father, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit, and how from everlasting there was that desire, yes, and that desire that would be and must be fulfilled for the redemption of poor, guilty, fallen sinners. And for that purpose, the Father gave that people, his church, unto the Son to redeem. From everlasting, it was the good pleasure of the Father to give the church to his Son to redeem. And from everlasting, it was the pleasure of the Son to undertake that work that his Father had given him to do. So this word begins, if we may talk of a beginning at all, in the councils of old, the everlasting good pleasure of the Father, that in Christ should all fullness dwell. But as we have already intimated, it saw its fulfilment, especially when the Father sent his Son into this world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And everything that the Son accomplished was all well-pleasing in the sight of his Heavenly Father. What a blessed union there is between the Eternal Father, an Eternal Son, an Eternal Spirit. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The various ways in which fullness can be spoken of. Certainly as far as the eternal Godhead of the Son was concerned, there was a fullness equal with his Father in glory, in wisdom. Read the chapter in Proverbs where Christ is spoken of under the name of wisdom. There was I with him, delighting always in him. Yes, there was a fullness in his Godhead. A fullness too when he came into this world. Pure, holy, spotless Lamb of God, perfectly fulfilling the work that his Father gave him to do. Here's the fullness there. But in particular, we feel that this word speaks of fullness in another respect. As it regards all that he has done and all that he behoves, all that he bestows upon his people. In the verses from the second chapter that we read together this evening, in the ninth verse, we see what we've already hinted at, although we cannot speak much of it, it's such a vast deep. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that will be seen and known concerning the Father is through the person and the work of the dearly beloved Son. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But also we read in the third verse there, concerning Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that is the fullness which he has to bestow upon his people. If we glance at the opening chapter, that sacred chapter that with which John begins his gospel, we find these same truths brought before us. In the 14th verse, and the Word, Christ, the Son of God, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full, there's the fullness, full of grace and truth. And if we look a few verses further down the same chapter, John testifies, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The expression grace for grace is a rather mysterious expression. If you look into One of the commentators, like Dr. Gill or Matthew Henry, you'll find they will give you 5 or 6 different ways in which it can be interpreted. But I believe Dr. Gill favours the one, grace upon grace. Grace for today and grace for tomorrow. Grace for this trial and for the next trial, and grace as long as we live here. More and more grace. It agrees, does it not, with the word in James, where we find the apostle saying, but he giveth more grace. More grace. Inexhaustible. Oh, there we have then the grace that is bestowed, the fullness that is bestowed. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. But how is this fullness bestowed upon guilty sinners who by nature are enemies to him? As we had it alienated from him by wicked words. Oh, how can God bestow of this fullness that is in Christ upon such sinners? Well, the following verse points to the channel through which this fullness must come. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. The hymn writer puts it like this: every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. God is merciful. God is gracious, but God is also infinitely holy. God is just. How can mercy come to sinners without in any way disparaging his justice? It's through the blood of the cross. It speaks of the purpose of the incarnation of Christ, that he took our nature into union with his divine nature, that he might have somewhat to offer. Yes, more than that, of course, in that holy nature he fulfilled the law. But for the moment, return to the blood of the cross. A body hast thou prepared me. Somewhat to offer, a sacrifice offered to God, well pleasing to God. There we see the channel through which this fullness reaches these guilty sinners. For though they are the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, as we find them described in Ephesians, yet by nature they're enemies, rebels, sinners, transgressors, condemned by his law. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, but the wisdom of God, the love of God, that he devised a way whereby he could be merciful and is merciful to such sinners without in any way disparaging his justice. And that is through the person and work of Christ. He suffered in the room and place of his people. I quote from the verse in our young people's hymnal, very simple verse, but it puts the truth so clearly. God knew how wicked man had been, knew that he must punish sin. So for his people, Jesus said, he'd bear the punishment instead. It's through the blood of his cross that these blessings contained in this fullness in our text can reach guilty, perishing sinners. But how are they applied? Well, we haven't said much concerning the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We must never leave him out. True it is that these verses speak of the Father and the Son. But these words were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit's office to take of these things of Jesus, yes, and of the Father too, and reveal them to sinners. But firstly, reveal to them their need of these blessings. Oh, it will be of no interest to know that the Father, it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell, if there's no felt need in our souls for to receive out of that fullness. And that is the Holy Spirit's work, to make us see and feel our need of these blessings that make up this fullness in Christ. Convince us of our sin. We sometimes sing in one of our hymns addressed to the Holy Spirit, convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood, and to our wandering view reveal the secret love of God. Oh, never leave out the work of the Holy Spirit. It's vital. It has been said that we might as well think of being saved without the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as without the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's work then, in the first place, to convince of sin, to show us our great need of salvation, to put a cry in our hearts for mercy. I think again, I know I so often repeat it in my preaching, of the parable that the Lord Jesus spake concerning those two men that went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank God, thanked him that he was not as other men are, but he told the Lord of all that he did, how he gave tithes of all that he possessed, how he fasted those several times in the week. Oh, he didn't feel to need anything out of the fullness of Christ, did he? He was full of himself. And the apostle who penned these words was in just that same condition at one time. We read how he could boast himself of being of the stock of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Pharisee of the Pharisee, and as touching the righteousness that was in the law, blameless. Oh, he thought was full of himself, full of his own righteousness. What an unspeakable mercy it was when God, by his Holy Spirit, and by Christ himself speaking to him from heaven, stripped him of all that self-righteousness, brought him down as a guilty sinner in need of mercy and salvation. But to return to the parable, the other man who went up to the temple, who dare not draw too near to that holy place, dare not even lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, there was one who had been shown his emptiness, who needed supplies out of this fullness. And his special need was for mercy. And that takes our thoughts back to the way in which the Lord revealed his name to Moses at Mount Sinai, where Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock. And the Lord passed by. And the Lord proclaimed his name. The Lord God, merciful, merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Though indeed he will by no means acquit the guilty, those who live and die in their sin without repentance. But oh, what a blessed declaration of the name of the Lord. That was the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And that is the fullness which these convicted sinners feel their need of. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, in the dearly beloved Son of God, in the one who in the fullness of time humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And all to the glory of God the Father. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So it is those who are well taught their need, made to feel their own emptiness. Or perhaps you may say, but there's worse than emptiness in me. Not only do I feel that my emptiness of good, but I have to confess with one of our hymn writers, empty of good and full of ill. Well, at least you feel it to be ill. You're not trusting to it. It's not your righteousness. And so I feel that you may well come in with these empty souls that the Saviour fills. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and the Lord will keep his people in that condition. Oh, we should like to have a stock in hand, like to be able to walk more and more in accordance with the precepts of the gospel, more and more crucify the flesh and the affections thereof, though we may deny the doctrine of progressive sanctification, yet I'm afraid it has its roots in us, and that is why the Lord plunges his people again and again into the ditch until their own clothes are bore them. The need to be kept, feeling empty and in need of supplies out of this fullness. I thought as I considered this epistle a little, you'll notice from our reading that Laodicea was mentioned in the first verse of the second chapter. And if you look on to the end of the epistle, you'll find that Paul said that when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. There's nothing whatever in this epistle, as far as I'm aware, to suggest that the church at Laodicea at that time was in anything other than a healthy condition, a spiritually healthy condition. But we only have to turn on a few years in time to when the Apostle John addressed them in the opening chapters of the Revelation, and we find what had happened in that church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, they weren't praying to be filled with this fullness, were they? for knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Their real condition was that they needed to be begging, earnestly praying to be filled out of that fullness that is in Christ, but they didn't feel it. Oh, what a change had taken place in that church in comparatively a few years. And unless the Lord, the Holy Spirit, keeps our souls alive and lively in the things of God, how we can also fall into a backsliding condition. Yes, read such precious things as these, but not find in our hearts that yearning, that earnest prayer, that diligent prayer, that we might receive out of his fullness. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, oh, the apostle, whenever he mentions Christ in his epistles, it seems he wants to enlarge and enlarge upon him. Oh, that we might have that same precious love toward the Lord Jesus and desire for him, desire to know more of him. Oh, the apostle, much as he knew, he still prayed that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, and he didn't, as it were, shy at praying also the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to know more and more of Christ, and that is surely to receive more of this fullness. But what is there in this fullness? There's everything a sinner needs to save him from sinking into the bottomless pit and make him meet to dwell with Christ in glory. Oh, everything that the sinner can need. In the Psalms we read, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. He will give grace, he will give glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Perhaps you immediately say, well, that cuts me off. My walk is far, far from what it should be. Oh, but do you confess it? Do you mourn over it? Do you pray for the Lord to enable you to walk uprightly? For remember that walking uprightly is not the procuring cause of the grace and the glory, far otherwise, but it is a fruit that flows from that grace. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. We think of the life of the Lord Jesus here below, from his birth to his resurrection. Oh, that was, as it were, filling this cup with its fullness. Yes, in his life as a child, obedient, perfect, unlike any other child that has lived upon the face of this earth. Why, we read in prophecy concerning him, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And we find too that there was that anticipation of the work that the Father had sent him into this world to perform when he tarried behind at Jerusalem. Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Oh, indeed, we cannot, as it were, pry much into those years since the Scriptures are silent upon them, apart from that one brief incident we've just mentioned. But all through his life, he was working out the work of salvation for his people. Everything he did was necessary for their salvation. We think too of when his ministry began, when John the Baptist saw him coming to him. Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. His baptism and that voice from heaven we've already mentioned. Lo, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm ever well pleased. Ah, but then too the period in the desert, tempted by Satan. Oh, what a part of the fullness that was. In all points tempted, like as his people are tempted, yet without sin. When the Lord's people were so tempted and tried by Satan, by his fiery darts being hurled at them, what a blessing it is if the Holy Spirit leads them to consider those closing verses of the fourth chapter in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Oh, that is where this fullness is to be obtained, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so on through the life of the Lord Jesus, think of the miracles he performed, which testified of his Godhead. But one thing you'll notice mentioned in a number of cases, and I'm sure it was present in all the cases, how Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. And is not that a part of this fullness which is so attractive? That the Lord Jesus is moved with compassion. That he sees his people in all their trials and difficulties and impossibilities, their strugglings with Satan. He's moved with compassion. And then, of course, we think of the last scenes, the garden scene. Ah, the cup that he was given to drink. The cup, indeed, concerning which we find him saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, there was a cup for him to drink. But in drinking it, he filled to the full the cup of salvation for his people. Follow him from the agonies of the garden to the mocking and scourging and spitting of the judgment hall, and then out to Calvary. Number with the transgressions. Crucified between two thieves. And then the sorest ingredient of it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, that is indeed how this fullness is provided for his people. That precious blood he there shed, sufficient to cleanse away all their sins. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. All fullness, a fullness of mercy. Mercy freely given to the sinner, but oh, at what a cost to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Grace. Grace, as we've just read, to help in time of need. And whether we realise it or not, it's always a time of need with us. When we perhaps are not conscious of it, then maybe we need it most. One of our hymns says, "More the treacherous calm I dread than tempest bursting o'er my head." We feel afraid perhaps to use that language, wondering what might come. But the Lord has a fullness for his people in all those dispensations of his providence. But sometimes are the special times of need. And certainly I sometimes feel it as I have to stand up before the people. What a time of need. A poor sinful mortal who feels to know so little to have to open his lips before the people in the sight of a holy, holy, holy God. Oh, but there's a fullness, an all-sufficiency. We quoted in prayer Paul's words, "Who is sufficient for these things?" But our sufficiency is of God. Why, that sufficiency comes from this fullness. Yes, plenteous grace with thee is found, says one, grace to pardon all my sin. Grace to enable us to continue. Oh, how we need grace to continue. Well, it's not just beginning, but continuing, enduring. For he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Grace to walk aright before an ungodly world. How short some of us feel to come. But he giveth more grace. May we seek it more often. How often when we feel to have failed, it's because we haven't sought it. Yes, though the Lord has all these supplies of grace, this fullness of grace to give, yet for this will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Again, we say how often it is when we fail to pray, when we fail to commit our way unto the Lord, that we feel to come so short, such failures. If it please the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, he might have foresaid, opens up this truth better than I can. You'd no doubt find it profitable to read 184 after the service. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Whate'er be our wants, we need not to fear our numerous complaints. His mercy will hear, his fullness shall yield us abundant supplies. His power shall shield us when dangers arise. Yes, we shall need it all through life. Supplies out of this fullness. Grace for grace, grace upon grace. How much more so when we come to the swellings of Jordan. Oh, indeed, we need, as the Lord may enable us, to lay up many prayers against that day. That day may not overtake us as a thief. That we may be found at last, purged, washed in his precious blood from all our sin and iniquity, and clothed with the spotless robe of his righteousness, and thereby made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. This must all come from this fullness which is as pleased the Father should dwell in Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And those who by God's grace receive of this fullness of grace here, to them he will give glory hereafter, to thank him throughout a never-ending eternity and praise him for that fullness which he has bestowed upon them. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Well, we leave these few thoughts here. May the Lord forgive anything amiss and make up where we have come so short in speaking on such a great subject. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Parrish on Tuesday evening next week. And there'll be a short meeting of the trustees after this service. Our closing hymn is 933. Joy is a fruit that will not grow in nature's barren soil. All we can boast till Christ we know is vanity and toil. Hymn 933.
Forgive all that thou hast seen amiss in our service this evening. Watch over us and take care of us as we part. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore.